Okay. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and I'll get to that later, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask of an egg, ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. He says, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he finds it swept and garnished. Then goes he and takes to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. And it come to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare you, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered together, thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man that when he has lighted a candle puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. as when the bright shining of the candle does give you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed it before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "How do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness? You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats of the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." Then answered one of the lawyers and said to him, "Master, thus saying, you reproaches us also." And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for you laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you built their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. But the blood of Abel, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. True today. Okay, back to the first verse. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, says Lord, but literally says by the language, Master, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Okay? Where do you think that thought process came from? Teach us to pray the way they did back there. Traditions of men. If John did it, we got to do it the same way. Well, see, that totally nullifies what Jesus was doing, because Jesus was bringing in a, quote, new covenant, wasn't he? Something new. It's not going back under the law where John was being taught from, okay? So that's where their thinking process was. And he said unto them, whenever you pray. Did he say when you pray three times a day? What did he say? Whenever you pray. Does that mean you have to pray every day, every morning, every noon, and every night? No. It says whenever you pray. When is whenever? Would it be whenever? Okay. Whenever. Whenever is whenever you do it. See? It's the same thing as like taking communion. As often as you do this, well, how often is that? I don't know. Whenever you do it. See, there was no specific time placed on it, but religion places a time on it and tries to bind you up to this regiment that they have come up with. Whenever doesn't lock it down to a time, does it? Okay. He said, whenever you pray, say this, Our Father. Now tell me about that statement. What? Okay, wait a minute now. There's more to that. There you go. Come on. See, think about it. Whenever you say Our Father, that means you know who He is and you know who you are. See? Our Father. That means we must be brothers. We got the same daddy. See? That ain't hard to think, is it? And that's all God's wanting us to do. He's saying, when you pray, say this. Talk to your daddy. Forget all this religious mumbo jumbo. Talk to your father. If you was going into your house to your natural father, would you walk in and say, Oh, Father? How many would say that? Nobody? Well, good. Good. And you forgot some of that religion you've been taught. That's good. He says, He's wanting us to know that this is talking about a relationship and an identity. And obviously we have an identity crisis, or he wouldn't be trying to teach us that, would he? He's trying to teach us who our Father is. Which art in heaven. Literally, it says, the one in heaven, or in the spirit realm. Now, why would we say that? Heaven here is symbolism of the spirit. God is spirit. So where would he live? In spirit. Where is that location? In each one of us. See, not just up there somewhere. It's in us. He said, hallowed be thy name. No. What's the word hallowed mean? Holy. Your name is holy. Your nature, the word name there is anoma, which means nature and character. So you're saying, our Father, the one I'm intimate with, the one I know, I'm just like him, and his nature and character is what? Holy. So guess what mine is? Uh-oh. Watch out, you're going to find out who you are. You find out what kind of nature you are, so somebody can tell you you're bad, and you're going to believe it. How about somebody tells you you're good? How about believing that one? Whole lot easier, isn't it? But nobody wants to believe it. God says you're good. Man and religion will tell you you're bad. Which one do you want to believe? I believe my Father. Okay? And my older brother there, Jesus, who's talking. Okay. He said to say this, your kingdom come. Now the word kingdom is the Greek word basileia. Does anyone know what it means? I will write it here on the board for you so you can see it. It means this. Rule, or it also can mean this. R-E-A-L-M. Realm. Okay. So we're saying, thy what? Who's in control? If God's in control, and you know this, and you know he's the Father, and you know we don't look at the homes today where the kids tell the parents what to do. We're looking at the way it's supposed to be. Who's in control of the house? Father's in control. Your rule come. You know what I'm saying? That's submission. That's submission to the Father. I'm not making this choice. Father, your rule come and take over. See, in the whole New Testament, why is there not a pattern of how we come to a church service and meet? It's whatever he wants, and it's supposed to be spiritual, led by the Spirit of God, nobody telling you what to do. Make sense? See, that's the way it's supposed to be. So we should be praying and speaking to him in an intimate way because we know who we are and we know who our Father is, right? And we also know what his nature is, right? What is it?
Holy.
What's your nature?
Holy.
Holy. Exactly the same thing. And then we want his realm to come. He want his rule. We want God to do it. You know, if people would understand this thing about being in submission to God, how wonderful it is? You know how great it is? Now, most young folks, no offense, most young folks, I was there once a long time ago. Long time ago. But we, as young folks, we don't want anyone to do what?
Tell us what to do.
But if I make the decision, who's responsible for it, Steve? Aha. Now, if I pray, say, okay, Father, you come and take control. You make the decisions. Guess what? I got no responsibility in this thing. Right? If I'm not making the decisions, it's a wonderful place to walk. I can't get any credit for what's done, but I can't get any blame either, can I? It's a wonderful place. See, I just do what I'm told by the Spirit of God. Maybe, huh? Right into the will of God. And let him do it. This is what he's trying to teach us. Your will be done. The word will is literally your desire or your purpose be done. So I'm saying, you know, if you come and take over, guess what's going to happen? If God's nature takes over in you, what's going to happen? Your purpose or his purpose? What did Jesus say? Not my will, but your will be done. See, it's the same things. He's trying to teach you the nature that was inside of him. And if you can understand the nature and character of Christ, then you're not going to wrestle for the steering wheel to be driving. you'll be glad to sit in the back of the bus. See? No problems. You'll be in that submission. He's in control, I guarantee you. He said, and your purpose be done as in heaven. What is heaven? The spirit realm. So he says, as you've done it in the spirit realm, see, and in your life, whether you know it or not, God has already completed you. You just haven't walked it out in the natural yet. See, so he says, as in heaven, your will be done, your purpose, your desire be done, as it already is where? Already in the spirit realm. He said, your will be done as it already is in heaven. He said, in the next three words says, so in earth. Literally, it should say, also in the earth. As it's been done in the spirit realm, now let it come to pass in me. He's not talking about this globe you walk on. The actual Greek word here for earth is gehe. And it means the whole globe and all of its inhabitants. Wonder who that'd take place, who'd be it covering. Who's that covering? Pos, all of them, every one of them. So that's what he's trying to teach us here in this so far. And then he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, literally that's not what it says. Okay, let me show you what it really says by the language. Give us each day our next day's bread. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say, give us each day my next day's bread? Why would he say that? Well, you got to realize it's coming from him. But in the Old Testament, didn't an animal to be clean had to do what? And chew the cud, see? So give me today what I'm going to need for tomorrow. Give me time to meditate upon it. That makes sense? The language says, give me today what I'm going for the next day, the next day's bread. Okay? Verse 4, and forgive us our sins. What's the word sin? Hartomeo, which means to miss the mark. Okay, forgive me for every time I've tried but made a mistake. Does that make sense? If we make a mistake, is that bad? I know the world tells us if we make a mistake, it's bad, but if we make a mistake and learn from it, guess what? That's a great thing. It's a gift of God to make a mistake. If we learn from it, don't repeat in that same thing over and over, okay? Now, go on with verse 4. Not for, but because we also forgave what? The word's pos. We forgave all that is indebted to us. How many of us is holding anyone to a debt? Now, I'm not talking all finances here. If you think it's all finances, you missed your boat. How about if you hold someone in bitterness or unforgiveness? Anger. Guess what? You yourself are in prison because you got no peace in your mind as long as you're mad at somebody else. You'll never walk in peace. Okay? And lead us not into what? Temptation. Now, do you think he's talking about don't take me down the street and see some old hooker walking the street? Is that what he's talking about? Don't take me by a bar and let me see somebody drink. Is that what he's talking about? It's talking about inward temptation. Lead me not down that path of inward temptation. It's speaking about inward things going on. Where does God dwell? Internally. So he's not talking about external things. He's talking about internal. But see, there's no license in that, is there? Because if the inside controls the outside, as soon as I get the inside done, the outside will have to do what? It'll have to follow in, fall right in suit, right in place. You don't try to clean the outside of the cup like we will address here in a little bit. You get the inside and it'll take care of the outside. Because your mind, everything that we do, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, goes through this thing we call a brain. So there's nothing you can do that doesn't go through this thing here. It has to be filtered through there. Okay? Whether we're aware of it or not, it goes through there because it works through the nervous system. Lead us not into temptation, but do what? Rescue us from what? From that evil or wicked one. What do you think he's talking about? You think he's talking about this guy with horns on his head and a big long pointy tail running around with a pitchfork and a red flannel suit? Is that what he's talking about? No. He's talking about your natural mind, your carnal mind. That's the accuser, the one that talks to you all the time. That's the devil, okay? That's the evil one you need to worry about. And you really don't have to worry about that until you already overcome that one too. That's the one that will lead you into that inward problems. Verse 5, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall respond and say, trouble me not, the door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise, or cannot possibly rise and give you. Okay? What do you think it's talking about? What do you think it's talking about? Think. I don't want to say everything out front and then you don't think. What do you think it's saying? If you have an opportunity, how about that? And someone comes to you, what do you think we should do here by this setting? Well, when I get to this one more word, I want you to hear this one more word in the 8th verse. It says, I say to you, even though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, even though he's his friend, he's not going to give it to him, he said. Yet because of his importunity, what does that word mean? Pressing, a pressing demand or persistence. See, it's not because he said, give it to me, you're going to give it to me. It's because you won't leave him alone. Okay? Even though he's your friend. Do you really think he's his friend? If somebody's in trouble and you can't help him and you have the ability to help him, do you think that's really being right? If I have a friend and I go to a friend and say I need help and they don't help me, I don't know if that's a friend or not. Wouldn't you think that? I think that. But he says, because of his importunity, it's not opportunity, it's importunity. That's that pressing demand. He will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, to shut you up. See? Not because of your friend, but just to shut you up. And that's where religion's at. I'm not going to get any farther than that. Verse 9, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. All that ask receive. And the one that seeks finds. And to the one that knocks it shall be opened. See, there is a responsibility on our part, isn't it? We can't just sit down. I had a man tell me one time, well, I'm just going to sit there. If God wants anything out of me, he'll tell me about it. I ain't doing nothing. Wouldn't do anything. Well, he didn't get very far. He's not alive today. He died a young man. I mean, that's just the way it happened. You know, that was his number. If God wanted him to change, I believe he would have, and I don't think there was anything there at the time. I think now he's known by God real good now. It's been a few years. Where are we at? Verse 11. What if a son shall ask bread from any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Would you? If one of your children come to you, would you give him a stone? Okay. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish, instead of a fish, give him a serpent or a snake? He's trying to bring a point out here. Remember when he said to pray, how do you start it out? He's trying to teach you something about the Father. Okay? You got to see this is about the Father. So he says, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Or if you then, being evil. Now, he's not talking about you being a murderer or something like that. He's talking about being natural, carnal. Okay? The carnal mind is an enemy of God, isn't it? It's an enmity with God. He says, if you being carnal, okay, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What do we need from God? The Spirit of God, nothing else. If we have the Spirit of God, what are we missing? See, we don't have to ask, like the Pentecostal realm says, pray for the gifts. If you get the gift giver, guess what? I got it all. See? I got the whole thing. If I got the one that passes out the gifts, then what do I have to ask for gifts for? I've got him, and it all comes together in a package. Okay? And don't feel in condemnation because I don't work in this gift or I don't work in that gift, because it says the Spirit gives to each man as He wills it. Look in 1 Corinthians, He'll tell you. He'll give to every man, 1 Corinthians, what is that, 12, 11 or 12? Every man as he wills. Okay? Verse 14, change the context. And he says, he was casting out a demon, and it was a mute spirit. Okay? And it came to pass that the demon, when the demon was gone out, the dumb or the mute spirit spoke, and the people wondered or marveled. Let's look at it again. See, now, everybody, most people have this connotation. I'll break this down for the benefit of the tape, too, but most people think a demon is one of them things running around that the devil sent out to work on people, right? Little imp or some little thing flying around, like on Halloween or something. See, we get caught up in these worldly thought processes, just like we were talking about little babies flying around with wings as angels, you know, those kind of things. We get those ideas out of movies and TV and religion, and that's not what it's all about anyway, is it? It's just something spiritual, okay? But he was casting a spirit out, okay, a demon out. Now, what is a demon? I know some of you guys know it. It's a thought process. See, the carnal mind is the devil. This natural thinking process is the devil. Okay, if that's the devil, then his messengers would be what? What works out of your mind? Only one thing comes out of your mind. It's a thought. So either it's either of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So this thing he was doing here, he was casting this thought out of this man. And how was this man kept dumb or speechless? How was he kept that way? By a thought. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I think something in my heart, what's the Bible say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. Who told you? See? Adam thought he was naked. Why? Because the serpent, the carnal mind, that beast, spoke to him and told him he was naked. See? Where was he naked? Didn't God say in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you? You think that's something just come about in the New Testament? See, it was from the very beginning. He never left us. If God left us, we wouldn't be here. We'd just be a pile of dirt. Okay? So he's casting out this thought process, and this thought process had this man tied up where he could not speak. Okay? And when you don't speak, some people think you're stupid, but you know, a lot of people keep their mouth shut and you might think they're smart. Okay? But anyway, when this thought process was gone, the mute man began to speak, and the people were marveled at this. They were marveling at this thing. How that he spoke something, and this person began to speak that had been bound up for so long. But it was just something in here, see, in his thought process. But some of them said, he casts out demons or thoughts through Beelzebub. And that was by Beelzebub. Beelzebub was a Philistine god, which means the Lord of the flies or the dung god. And everybody knows what dung is? Okay? And you know, flies hang around that stuff. And he's the ruler of the demonic world or the demon thinking or the thought process of the natural mind. Okay? So they thought or they accused him of doing this thing. Now I got to input something here. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 34 and 35, I think it is, or 13, 34 and 35, one of the two, chapter 12 or 13, verse 34 and 35. He said, I will not speak to the multitudes except in what?
Parables.
Is he talking to a whole bunch of people here? Yes, he is. He's talking to the multitudes here. Now, so what's he talking in?
Parables.
See, this is not a reality. People need to get the reality check in this thing. This is not a literal thing that was going on. It's this parable he's speaking in about this person. Is it what?
Matthew
13, 34 and 35? Okay. It was in Matthew 13 then. Okay. So this is something that's parabolic in what he's teaching, to let us know how this is taken care of. It's a thought process in our mind. If we believe we have the mind of Christ, would I go out and murder somebody tonight? See? If my mind, see, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. If this mind is changed, and it's only in thinking. You can't take a mind and stick it in water and wash it, or put bleach on it and clean it up. The only way it cleans this mind up is by what you think. And the only way you can do that is through the Word of God. If you could do it on your own, then why did God send His Son to a tree? I mean, come on, that don't make no sense. If there was some other way to do it, it's by the Word of God that'll clean you up. Not long after I got in church, I heard a man make a statement. He didn't understand what he was saying, I know, but there was the truth in it. And he said, garbage in, garbage out. You put the Word in, the Word will come out. Won't it? The only way to wash your mind, and Jesus said it in John, He said, you're clean by the what? The words that I have spoke to you. How do you get your mind clean? By the Word of God. Nothing else. Nothing can change this carnal mind but the Word of God. Nothing can clean it up but that. So, if we want our mind changed, what do we got to do?
Drink the water.
Immersed into this thing. Absolutely. Immersed right into it. Where did I leave off there? 15? And others tempting him sought of him, or from him, a sign from the spirit realm. And he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself, really, the word house isn't there, it should be, a house divided against itself falls. Okay? If you take this house and sold it right in two, what do you think would happen to it? Eventually it would fall, maybe not instantly, but eventually it's going to fall apart or cave in. Okay? And that's what he's trying to say. We got to come together in this one building. Are we not the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle of God, a holy habitation built up into God, one stone, lively stones built one upon another? See? So we got to be coming together instead of separating all the time and getting all this negative stuff coming out. Okay? And he said, if Satan, the accuser, and that's what the word Satanus means here, the accuser. Now, who accuses you? I'm not talking about your spouse or your children or somebody. Who accuses you every day of your life? Your own mind accuses you every day. See, there's the devil. There's the Satan right there. So every day, you know, this Satan, it says, and if this Satan be divided against itself, how shall his kingdom stand? Or its kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through or by Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Boy, he whacked them one there, didn't he? If you're saying, I'm doing it by demons, he said, you religious folk, what are your sons casting out demons by? And then look what he says. Look what he says about their sons. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason shall they be your judges. Your sons are going to stand up and judge you for your religious ways. Okay? So what they're really going to do is the sons are going to help them get their mind cleaned up. Okay? We have to realize judgment's not what we always think. Usually the word judgment is the word justice. Okay? Now, if you go in a court system today, and this is where we judge our understanding from. If we're going in a court system and there's a judge going to sit in there and judge you, innocent or guilty, right? And we think, well, it's either going to be good or bad. And usually it's bad when you go to the courtroom, right? So we got this negative connotation of what judgment is. But biblically, the word judgment means justice. Okay? Now, if I go in there and say I'm going before this judge and I'm not being brought in there by anything else except I'm wanting one thing, justice. I want the fair thing and the right thing to be done. See, there's the connotation we should be thinking about. So when I come before these sons, what should I be getting? See, justice is what I'm seeking. But see, but the father's right there. I can tell you what they're looking for. Condemnation. They're looking to be condemned. Why? Because of their evil hearts. He already said they had one, didn't he? Now, their sons. Who do they think these sons really are? Who are they? The sons? The son? Okay. So when Christ, the Son, the many more membered body, when he stands up in judgment, what's he going to do? Is he going to judge you guilty or innocent? He already paid the price for it. So when we're looking for justice, the religious folk have that evil mind. They're looking to be condemned, and that's where their hell is, because they're looking for the condemnation. And the Son comes up and says, not guilty, I already paid their fine. I already paid for their restitution. So you don't have to worry about it. Okay? We're not understanding what justice is. Justice is the right thing. And the reason it's the right thing is because he paid the price. Didn't the book say he bought us with a price? We don't have to worry about it no more. That way I can lay down tonight and sleep no matter what. I don't have to worry. Whoop, I might make a mistake and end up in hell, you know. Like your brother said, well, I'll either meet you up there or down there. I'd want to go to sleep with a little better understanding of my eternity. Okay? Verse 20. Nope, got that one, didn't I? No, I didn't do that. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then no doubt the kingdom of God is what? It has arrived to you. It's arrived to you. It's come to you. If I do it by the finger of God, then no doubt the kingdom of God is come to you. That takes a responsibility. You had to see something. He's telling you, you got the kingdom of God right there. Verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, and guards his palace, his what? His possessions are secure. That's what the language says. But when a stronger than he shall come along, or literally the word is attack, when it says come upon, it means attack. When a stronger than he shall attack him and overcome him, he takes from him all of his armor, right? Upon which he trusted and divides his spoils. What's he trying to tell you? If you're trusting in the wrong thing, somebody's going to come and take it from you. Something a long time ago, we used to play these little games when I was in the service, and they call it King of the Hill and things. It was just to toughen you up. And, you know, who's the baddest one here? You know, people stupid enough to raise their hand. And I was usually one of them. And then they said, come out here. They put you in the middle, and then they just, people attack you from every side in the world. You'd never know where it's coming from. And anything goes, kicking, biting, scratching, poking, anything you want to do. You know what? You found out real quick, it wasn't good. It was not good. So there's always somebody that's going to take you off of your perch if you think you're on top. There's always someone badder coming down the pike. Promise you that. So you trust in the wrong thing, you're going to end up losing everything. Verse 23, he being not with me is being against me, is what the language says. He being not with me is being the same as being against me. And he that gathers not with me, what's he doing? He's scattering. If you're not helping me, what are you doing? You're hindering me. But if you're helping me, no matter where you're at, you're still helping me. If you're not against me, that means you're for me. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit, that's the what? The thoughts of her mind. When those unclean things are gone out of what? The word's anthropos, man, anthropos, guess what? It's humanity. When the unclean thought has gone out of humanity, it walks through dry places, not he, it. Walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And it says, I will return to my house from which I came out. Now, where did it come from? The mind. So he's just going to try, that thought's going to come back. So just like when Jesus was tempted in the desert, when he went through the temptation, at the end of the temptation, it says, angels came and ministered to him. Angels, again, we know means messengers from God, came and ministered to him from the Spirit. And it says, the devil did what? Departed for a season. That means he came back. So he was still there. That natural mind was still there. And Jesus said it in another way. He that endures until the end will be delivered. See? So it's something that's always going to be there, but you're going to know how to deal with it. Okay? But this thing is always, this thought process is always going to come back and beat on you. You understand what I'm saying? It's always going to, people say, well, I got deliverance. I got a devil cast out of me. Well, good. How many other thousands in there? See? How many thousands are in there? See? So I get one of them out. Well, that don't mean anything, does it? How many thoughts have you got in your mind that's not right? Anybody want to volunteer a guess in that? That's one way to look at it. See? So just because we get something straightened up don't mean we got it all straightened up, does it? Okay? But it's always going to constantly return to where it came from. Okay? In other words, it's saying these thoughts are going to come back and test you. Do you really believe what God has put in your mind? Hello? Do you really believe what God said, or are you going to believe this thing coming back and beating you in the head again? It's only a witness to me whenever my mind comes to me and says, you're going to fail. You know, I said, thank you. Before I ever knew what the devil really was, my mind, I always thought there was a devil like most other people thought. And I'd hear those things in my mind. I'd think, oh, the devil's talking again. I hear him. And the book says he's a liar and the truth's not in him, so he couldn't say the truth, could he? So every time he spoke to him, I'd say, thank you, devil. You just blessed me. Because if you told me I'm going to fail, then you're a liar. That means must mean I have to succeed. See? Right? So when that mind speaks to me, I can just tell it to shut up because it's lying. It can't tell the truth. It doesn't have the truth, does it? Same thing today. I can tell it today. I can tell this mind to shut up because it don't know what it's talking about. But the Spirit of God in me knows the truth. And when the one tells me I'm going to fail, then I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to succeed. You can do the same thing. Okay? And it says in verse 25, and when he, or when it appears, he finds, or it finds, it swept and garnished, or literally put in order. Now, that sounds like something good, don't it? Would you think that? Well, literally, when it says put in order, there's a word that kicks in my mind in the Greek language. Cosmos. What's it mean? Orderly arrangement. But this orderly arrangement is the arrangement in the mind of humanity. See? So the unclean spirits went out, and there's a problem here with this guy, whoever this humanity might be. Because when that unclean spirit went out, they didn't do anything to it. They let the natural mind take over and put everything in order. They did not fill it with the Word of God. Hear what I'm saying? So I see it as a very negative thing. He finds it clean, swept, and it garnished. Now, had he filled it up with the Word of God, would there have been a room for seven more to come with him? Would have been no place to go, would there? See, if my mind's filled, there's no room for that other stuff in there, is there? So guess what? This is a negative thing. It says, then it goes and takes to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell permanently there. And the last state of the man is worse or more evil or aggravated than the first. Now, let me say it again. Then it goes and takes to himself seven other spirits. Remember the seven spirits of Deuteronomy 7:1? Remember the seven spirits cast out of Mary Magdalene? I'm not going to get back in that. That would take a while to do that one. So go back to one of the other tapes and you'll find it. We've talked about it several times. But he takes the seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell permanently there. And the last of that man is more evil or more aggravated, is what the language says, more aggravated than the protos. Not the Mia, not the highest, but the protos, the prototype. You know what that's telling me? Protos is what? We get our word what from it? Prototype, our English word. What's the prototype? The first one, Adam. See? And it's worse than Adam was. Boy, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. I'll leave that alone. That's pretty bad. And it came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps or the breast which you nursed. And he said, on the contrary, that's what the language says. See? Now, you know what most religious folk had done if you'd say that? They'd jump up and say some religious thing. Blessed be you, brother. And he said, on the contrary, my dear. You missed that one. He says, on the contrary, blessed are they. hear, and we're not talking about these little protrusions on the side of her head. We're talking about spiritually hearing the Logos of God and what? Obey it. That's what the language says. Blessed are they that hear spiritually the Logos or the Word of God and obey it. See, hearing the Word of God doesn't mean anything if I don't obey it, does it? Doesn't mean a thing. Just a word, unless we obey it. And when the people were gathered together, that word thick you can cross out because it's an added word, it's not even there. When the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. That's what the church needs to hear today. This is an evil generation. Not the people. It's the thinking. Okay? It's the thinking of the people. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it except the sign of Jonas, the prophet. What's the word Jonas mean? Dove. Sign of what? What's the dove symbol of?
Spirit.
So the spirit of the prophet. And who is that? Christ. Okay? Because as Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites. Okay? What does the word Ninevite mean? It speaks of apathy. The language says it's the offspring of ease. E-A-S-E. Comfort zone, see? Apathy. Not really getting much done. Just hanging around. So shall the Son of Man be to this generation. You know, Jonas was a thorn in their flesh, wasn't he? He kind of burned them up a little bit. And he says, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. And he said, the Queen of the South, and that's Comfort, that's Sheba he was talking about. And you can go into 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 through 34, and it's in 1 Kings 10, 1 through 29. And it's in 2 Chronicles 9, 1 through 9. There's three references to it about the Queen of Sheba and what went on. And you know, there's some things there I may even want to touch on. Shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the extremities of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Do you know who Sheba represents? It's our soul. And she come, no, she didn't do it. She come to hear the wisdom of God, see, from Solomon. It's the same thing, because Solomon is a type of the Son of God, Christ, right? We should be able to travel to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's people right now that we have met all over this country. There's people that you have met that's come here from all over the country that have driven 15 hours to come here to church for a weekend. There's people that we got coming this weekend from Toledo. They've been coming down here for 2 years. And they come down here and drive 5 hours one way to come to church on the weekend and 5 hours home. Do you think it's because it's like every other church? We don't pay people to come here, you know. We don't pay you to come. You don't get a paycheck for coming here. I'm giving you truth that you can't buy for any price. And it's free. Spiritual paycheck that you can't believe. Okay? But this is what it's saying. See, we truly should be able to travel. Should be no limits to what we would do to hear the truth of God, because it's the only thing that's going to restore our minds back to where we belong. Now we're getting in Bob's territory here. Verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they, what? They repented by the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. That word right there is metanoio. That's the 3340 we talked about earlier, Bob. And it means to think differently or to reconsider. See, so after the preaching, what did they do? They reconsidered. In other words, this. The only way you will ever repent is this. Before, when you have something in your mind you believe, to repent means I got to change this information. Before I repent, I got to do something in my head. I got to say something. I got to say to myself, there's a possibility I could be wrong. And if I can't say that, I will never repent. Neither will you. I have to say, I got a possibility. I'm not afraid of looking at anything. Anything you've got to prove me wrong, or anybody on the face of the earth that can prove me wrong in anything I'm saying, you bring it to me and show it to me. I'm not afraid to test it. If you're afraid to test what you believe, you're already in deception. Do you hear that? So, I'm not afraid to be tested in anything I'm saying. In fact, I recommend you do it that way. But to repent means to reconsider. So I have to be able to listen to what someone is saying, even if I maybe don't understand or agree with them. Because there's a possibility they may have a point that I've missed. Does that make sense? There's a possibility I could be wrong. If you don't approach everything in that way, then you've shut your mind, you've closed your mind off, and you cannot be taught any longer. You're no longer teachable. You have to be able to listen. Do you trust God? What did he just say there about the fish and the egg and the serpent and all that scorpion stuff? If you can give the good things, are you going to trust your father to give you the truth, or are you going to let him, you think he's going to lie to you? Okay. I have to trust him that the spirit he's placed within me will not deceive me. Does that make sense to you? Okay. We have to come to a place we trust him. I'm not afraid of anything anybody can say or do to me. Okay? I'm not Superman. I'm just telling you, I'm not afraid of what anybody can say or do to me, because if they've got a truth and they don't give it to me, they're a monster. Anything I got, I'll give to you. Any truth I got, it's free. I'll give it to you if it can help you. See? And if people's got it and won't give it to me, they're a monster, but I don't think very many people's got very much out there, because I've not been impressed by many things that they're preaching. It's never done nothing for my spirit. The Spirit of God has taught me what I know today. I don't give honor to a man, say this man or this woman taught me a whole bunch of stuff, because I don't have a lot of that in my life. God taught me. Should seek, that's right, you should seek it yourself for God to teach you. See, I can help. Yeah, he's got pastors and all this, and you have prophets and evangelists and all this, but that's just to start you. Then you got to finish the task yourself, you and him. But anyway, they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And he says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place or in a cellar. What is a cellar? Hole in the ground? See, would God, what he's trying to say here, would God give you the light, light your candle, and then you stick it back inside your mind and put it out and hide it? Is that where you want to do it? No. He says the light's for a reason, for everyone to see. If God has placed the light in you, which is the Spirit of God, which is life, why would I want to hide it back under humanity again? That's all a cellar is a hole in the earth, and we're earth, aren't we? That's a hole right there, isn't it? Sides of our head. Okay? He says, in a secret place or in a cellar, neither under a bushel basket. What's a bushel basket made out of? That's humanity. But on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body. Now the body, here's the word soma, the sound whole body, okay? The light of the body is the eye, or literally the spirit. Therefore, when thine eye is single or clear, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body then is full of what? Darkness. What is darkness? Ignorance. Light means illumination or understanding, see? So, when we realize that the eye is the key, that's the spirit, which is the center of us, which gives us all of our light. Verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in you be not what? Ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Now some people get offended at that word ignorant, but ignorance is just a lack of information. When somebody says you're ignorant, that don't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't have enough information to make the correct decision. Okay? So we need to get more information. If your whole body therefore be full of light, having no part of darkness, then the whole shall be full of what? Common sense. If there's no darkness, then what's it got to be? Light. As when the bright shining or the glaring of a candle does give you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee requested him to dine with him, and he went in, sat down to supper. And when the Pharisee saw it, he what? He marveled because he had not first washed before dinner. Well, see, that's religion. He was just totally appalled because he went in and didn't wash his hands and began to eat. Well, you know what it didn't say here? It didn't say he prayed either, did it? Did he?
He was hungry.
He was hungry. He got started eating. Well, now the religion says you can't eat anything unless you bless your Father, thank you for this food, for the nourishment of our bodies, amen, in Jesus' name. Now, if you don't say that, you're not allowed to eat, are you? Now, I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm telling you that's what the church world is teaching you. Jesus went in, grabbed some food, and started eating it. Where was his prayer? He's our pattern, right or wrong. Come on. See, I know the church world don't like that. I don't care. I'm trying to show you what he showed. If he had to pray and if we had to pray, he would have been doing the same thing. See? There's nothing wrong with praying. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm saying pray whenever Father tells you or directs you to. You don't do it just because somebody said you should. Okay? Because some religious folk tell you that. Okay. But the Pharisees thought he marveled because he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but the inside is full of robbery and extortion and depravity, malice, evil purpose, and desires." That's what's inside of you. That's what he said. Boy, he made that religious folk real happy, didn't he? He said, "See what you're full of?" He said, "Right now you make the outside of the cup," and that's what religion does. If you wear your hair right, don't wear makeup now, and surely don't put on none of that jewelry. That's Babylonian whore stuff now. That's what they say. Isn't it? See? That's what they say. Button your shirts up to your neck, long sleeves buttoned up down for the men too. Women wear dresses down there, you know. Like I've heard said many times, if a barn needs painted, you should go ahead and paint it. I heard a woman one time jump up in the preacher's face and say this. I actually heard her say it. What do you think about makeup? He said, "I think you need some." He put her in her place. She was trying to be religious with him. And he looked her right in the eye and said, "I think you need some." See? Now, was that being mean? Was that being mean? No, it wasn't. He was putting her in her place. She needed to hear that. She did need makeup. Lots of it. I didn't tell you who it was. I just said she needed a lot of makeup. To make her presentable, she needed a lot of it. Okay. Verse 40. "You fools." Now the word "fool" here, what does it mean to you? It means mindless, stupid, ignorant, egotistical, rash, and unbelieving. Man. Don't say nothing offensive to nobody. Jesus was offending people constantly by telling them the truth. He told them they were mindless, stupid, ignorant, egotistical, rash, and unbelieving. Was it the truth? Okay. Truth does sometimes hurt, usually most of the time. He said, "You fools, did not he that made that which is without or external make that which is internal also?" He made it all. "But rather give alms of" what? Here's what it says. "But give alms," the word "rather" isn't there. "But give alms from what is within." That's what it says. Now what would that mean to you? Give alms from what is within. Give it from your heart. What are we talking about? L-O-V-E. Hello. See, give what's within you. If love isn't in you, then why would you be given anything? There's no reason. The love is the only thing that will drive you to do everything. Huh? The agape love, unconditional love. Okay? And behold, all things are what? See, if you give from what's within you, the love, and behold what? All things are what to you? See? When you give and respond out of everything in you from the nature of our Father, which we talked about when he said, "Teach us how to pray." Yeah. Our Father, your nature is what? Holy. It's love. God is love. When we give from that, everything is what? Clean. I have no condemnation because everything God wants me to do, I'll do it. It doesn't make any difference. He told the prophet Hosea to go get you a prostitute, go get you a hooker, marry her, and have kids. You know that violated the law? Because no priest was allowed to touch an unclean woman. Huh. God liable to tell you to do a lot of things. He told Isaiah, go prophesy and walk through the nation of Israel naked for 3.5 years. Try that one on. I ain't going to do it. He didn't tell me to do it. See, but I'm telling you, God can tell you to do things that the religious minds can't handle. But God's got a purpose. And you got to do what God says and forget what people think. Sometimes your reputation has to go aside, don't it? Do what God says to do. Okay, where am I at? 42. But woe to you Pharisees. Woe, pain, grief, and suffering. And that word but again is on the contrary. Pain, grief, and suffering to you Pharisees. What's a Pharisee? A religious separatist. That means they're always separating and dividing. See, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm an apostolic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic. There's a Pharisee. You know what I am? Child of God. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what we all are. But we put them labels on, we become those Pharisees. Because you tithe mint, rue, and all manner of herbs. Now this word ye tithe, it's not like the regular word tithe. It's another word that's a little more complicated than that. And it says it this way. You pay tithes as a debt. Uh-oh, that changed the whole thought process. See, if you give tithe or money to the church out of a necessity because you feel it's a debt you owe, you miss the whole purpose. One thing that everything operates in the kingdom of God on, love. It's a love thing you do. See, it's that love feast. So this word here means to tithe as it's a debt. He said you do it like it's a debt to tithe all the things. And then you pass over, or literally you neglect, the justice and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to neglected the others. See? He didn't say don't tithe, did he? There's all kinds of people around. You ain't supposed to tithe today. That's under the law. The tithing came before the law in Genesis 14. And if you go to Hebrews 7, anyway, the scripture says this, that Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Melchizedek in Genesis 7, who was that? Christ. It was a Christophany. It was Christ being appeared before we ever come into the flesh form. Okay? In Hebrews 7, it said the sons of the Melchizedek priesthood did not take tithes like the Levitical priesthood, but they received, just like Melchizedek received back then. The same yesterday, today, and forever, you continue receiving as people bring. You don't put any condemnation on anybody about anything. You let them bring what's out of their heart, from that love in their heart, from what's within them. Okay? 43. Woe, pain, grief, and suffering again to you Pharisees, you religious separatists, because you love the uppermost or the front row seats. It says front row in the language. You like it up front where you get attention. Okay? In the synagogue, in the church. But see, it's opposite today because everybody wants to sit in the back of the church. Everybody's afraid to get too close to the preacher and, you know, something will go on. Well, don't be worried about that, see, because the preacher ain't the one that's going to have any problems with you. It's God, not me. Okay? But they like the front row seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the what? The marketplace or the town square. That's a place where everybody went in those days to do their business, to sit around gossip and just to talk. So guess who was in the town square? Try everybody. Just about everybody who was somebody. So they loved that greeting out there when everybody saw them sucking up to them. About like preachers today, isn't it? Preachers love everybody to meet them at the door and suck up to them on the way out the door. Isn't that the truth? That's not what God wants. See, a preacher's not here to fluff you and buff you, but he's here to be your what? Servant. It's an example and a servant. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to be the servant. That's what we're supposed to be. Okay? Right? They like the popularity. He said, verse 44, woe, pain, grief, and suffering to you scribes and Pharisees. The scribes is just a secretary, okay? they were interpreters of the law once it got into the religious realm a little ways. And Pharisees, and he added another word there. Look at that one. Happy word, hypocrite. Now, he was making everybody happy here, wasn't he? Because you are as graves. What's that mean? The word grave here literally is a visible object for preserving the memory of a person. Literally, it's not grave. You're a monument. Like a grave stone. That's what it means. It's a monument. That's what it literally says. Huh? It's a monument or an idol which appear not. literally it says that are hidden. You're a grave marker, you're a something that's hidden, and men that walk over them are not aware of them. Okay. Remember he said the reputation of the wicked would perish? Okay. People walk over the graves. You know, people, when I was a kid, if you went to the graveyard to a funeral, you step on a grave and someone knocked you upside the head before you got across that grave. They were so superstitious. Don't step on nobody's grave. What am I going to do, hurt them? I mean, come on. I was just a kid. I didn't know the difference. It's just a big mound there. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just dirt to play in. Didn't mean nothing to me. Still don't, because it's just a mound of dirt. And that body's, that person's not there. That's religious stuff, see? And he said, it's all going to pass away. Then responded one of the lawyers. And the word lawyer here is not like we call lawyers over in the courthouse over here. This is a teacher of the Mosaic law. Said unto him, teacher, not master, but teacher, thus saying, you're insulting us also. Hello, he got somebody, didn't he? He said, you insulted me also. You got us too. You talked to them scribes and Pharisees and everything, and now we're the ones teaching the law. You got us too. I'm insulted. Well, you know what I got to say? Wah. Grow up. Okay? Because he says, and he said to them, he said, you reproach us also. And he said, woe, that's pain, grief, and suffering, to you also, you teachers of the law, because you overburden, the word laid means overburden men, with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Don't that sound like the religious folk? I know religious folk that says this, you better not worship Christmas, you better not put the Christmas trees up and all the lights. And a man's down south, that's far as I'll go. And he comes north every year, and you know what happens? Every year at Christmas, he comes up to where he's originally from, and he tells his church, you better not do it. And he goes and does it, and he worships under the Christmas tree up here. See? I've seen him say, don't eat certain foods. I've seen him make their children begging for a piece of cake. Don't you eat that poison sugar. Don't you dare eat that stuff. Come to my house and eat so much of the stuff it'd kill two people in one meal. Hypocrites. They're not living by what their standards are. They're trying to burden you with something that they can't even live themselves. Oh, there's plenty of it out there. That's just a little taste of it. Okay? Verse 47, woe to you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and your fathers kill them. Okay? Literally, well, we'll go on down to the next verse and get it out there. Truly you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your father, because they truly, in fact, killed them, and you build their sepulchres. You know what word I'd like to just put in there for sepulchres? Church buildings. Huh? Tombs. Church buildings. Okay. They kill you. They laden you with things that you can't do and put burdens on you where you can never do anything. They can't live it, but they want to make you think you're supposed to. Oh, it's pitiful, but that's the way it is. Verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, see, the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some they shall slay and persecute, in order that the blood of the prophets, see, it was a purpose for it. There's a purpose for us being persecuted and slain. In order that the blood of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation, the word literally is conception, from the conception or the conceiving of this world or this cosmos, the orderly arrangement in the mind of man, may be demanded of this generation. See, it was God's timing, wasn't it? Everything under his timing. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Truly I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Now back up to 51 again, it says, from the blood of who? What's the first letter? To the blood of who? To what letter is that? A to Z. That covered it all. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, didn't it? All the blood. And I think that Zacharias, wonder who that might be. Christ. Literally, Abel's name means transitory. It's just going through. And the word Zacharias in the language means remembered by Yahweh or remembered by God. Wonder who that might be. Jesus the Christ, which perished between the altar, the place of sacrifice, and the temple. What is the temple? Between the altar, and that's not an altar. We're not talking about this little podium here. We're talking about the altar where they sacrifice things, the place of sacrifice. Between there and the temple. What is it? See, Zacharias, which was a type of who? He died somewhere between the blood of Abel and the temple, right? Is that what it says? The place of sacrifice, rather, and the temple. What's the sacrifice, place of sacrifice? Tell me. Cross. Go to the cross. And then guess what the temple is? That's you. It's maturity. Somewhere in between there, see, that's where he died. He didn't go all the way, did he? See, Jesus didn't go all the way, did he? He passed through that we might see how it's done. Okay? Something transitory. He passed right on through. Okay. Truly I say to you, it shall be demanded of this generation or this age. And again he goes back and says, woe. And I wouldn't want myself in any classification where he said woe. I don't want no part of that. He said, woe, that pain, grief, and suffering to ye lawyers or you teachers of the law, because you have taken away the key of knowledge. Did you hear that? There's what the religious folk do. They take away the key of knowledge. They tell you it can't be true. All the gifts passed away in the house of Cornelius. That's what they tell you. You know, no more of this Holy Spirit thing. Well, I'm telling you, with no Holy Spirit, there is no life in anybody or anything. We'd just be an inanimate object like the wood to these walls, wouldn't we? Without the Spirit, we'd just be dirt. Wood comes from the dirt too, doesn't it? But they've taken away the key of knowledge, and you entered not in yourselves, and those that were entering in, you what? You hindered or you quarreled with them. Okay? Let me say another word. Let me say it a different way. Let me say it a different way first. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you prevented by words or actions. Yes, that would be another way to do it. That would be hindering when they say there's nothing spiritual about this book. This book is totally spiritual. It's spiritual. But you prevent them by words or actions from entering in. That's what the lawyers do. You know how many, I had this man call me one night. I'll tell you the night it was. It was the night the Gulf War started when the bombing started, the planes started dropping bombs. This man called me, and he had just told me that I know the doctrine of the church, they believe that speaking in tongues and all that stuff is of the devil. And their pastor had just taught them that night. He said, my God, you wouldn't believe what kind of a meeting we had tonight. The Holy Ghost just came, and we had one of the most fantastic meetings. I said, oh, really? And this is a church that don't believe in it at all, you know, so I thought, well, what did your pastor teach on? He said he taught on tongues. And I said, well, what did he tell you? He said, tongues is of the devil. I said, do you realize that's an oxymoron? Because you contradicted what you said as soon as you said it. That the Holy Spirit came and blessed you when you told him that what his gift was of the devil. Now, I'm sure God's going to bless that one. People don't realize what they're saying. They don't think for a minute. But that's what happened. They were hindered, believe me, by what they were told. Oh, that carnal mind was having a ball right there. They were entertained to the max. Okay, verse 53. And he said, and as he said these things to them, or literally as he didn't say that, the word said these things to them, shouldn't even be there, it should say this. And as he departed, now why didn't he put the word departed there? I don't know, but that's what the language says. As he departed, the scribes and the Pharisees began to quarrel with him excessively. That's what it says. Quarrel with him excessively. And to provoke him to speak many things. What they were literally trying to do was to get him to say something and say so many things they could twist his words and make it something that wasn't really said. Trying to cross him up. Okay?
They did cross him up, didn't they?
Yeah, they crossed him all right. Not the way they thought, though. And it says, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people around here that try to do it to me, and I think it's funny because I just laugh at them when they do it because I just stop talking, and then they can't cross me up, can they? If you say nothing, they can't misquote you.
But yeah, he departed. Yeah. He didn't have to worry about that. They couldn't get to him. See, here's the whole thing. Let me just, we'll just stop there anyway, but we've covered it. Here's the thing. When you come to maturity, and this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you come to maturity, nobody is going to cross you up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody can cross you up. I don't care what they get you to say. If you are swift to hear and slow to speak, nobody's going to cross you up. I'm not afraid of anybody in this world. I'll debate with anybody scripturally, anybody on the face of this earth. Now, that's not arrogance. It's confidence. I know what I'm talking about with this. Now, if you want to talk to me about some other thing, I couldn't do a thing for you. You know, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not a rocket scientist. But I am a master of this word. I know that. And then nobody can take me out of that. See, because I've heard my Father speak to me. And if that's what I'm trying to instill in you, if you can hear God talking to you, you have reached the pinnacle. That's all you got to do. Listen to what he says, because he won't lie to you. He can't lie. By the book, he says he can't lie. Okay? And you know what? He's never lied to me. And I'm still here. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I know that. See? So what I want you to understand is, when you come to this place of confidence and maturity in God, you're going to be told you're crazy. What did they tell him? He was full of Beelzebub every night, wasn't he? Working with demons and devils? See? They're always going to accuse you. And it's always amazing to my mind that every time you help somebody, what's the reward you get? An accusation. It happens all the time. I sat in, I'll turn this off. I sat and talked with the...